Welcome to another episode of Glowing Greyhounds. Welcome to Glowing Greyhounds. Now this week I decided to do a very interesting person. Her name is Kamana Gupta and she's a senior here at Carmel High School. Kamana is definitely a very friendly, outgoing type of girl, but there are a lot of things that I found out in this interview that were really interesting, things that I never really expected her to be like. So check it out. So today we're on with Kamana Gupta. How are you today, Kamana?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. So are you excited to be here in the unknown land of radio?
Of course. I've never been here before, so it's truly an honor to be here.
Hey, that's great. That's the best answer I've heard, honestly. Okay, so let's start with easier questions. We'll go on to the deeper ones. So first and foremost, what's your favorite color and why?
My favorite color is blue. I just think there's like all the shades of blue are really nice and they have different emotions. So yeah, blue.
So what kind of emotions are you thinking when you talk about blue, like specifically?
Like a lighter blue would be like a light feeling, like happy-go-lucky kind of motion. And then, like, a darker blue would be sadness.
Sadness.
Or something gloomy.
So, out of all these different blues that you like, is there a specific one? Like, the light blue, the dark blue, which one do you...
I like teal a lot. It's kind of a green blue, but okay. Teal is really nice.
Is there any reason you like teal blue, or just...
Just because.
Just because? Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, so what's your favorite number, and why?
I know. I never thought about that. I guess my favorite number would have to be 18. Because I am 18.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah, and that's like, I'm an adult now. But other than that, I can't think of a reason that 18 would be my favorite number.
So how do you feel about being 18? Did you get a feeling when you turned 18? Anything like that? Or
you know, not really, because I can't drive yet, because my parents didn't want me to get my permit early on and be, like, distracted during school.
Oh.
So I'm going to get my license soon, hopefully, but it didn't feel like, you're 18, like, go conquer the world, but I just feel like a kid still.
Okay, well, I think most people that are seniors right now feel the same way, yeah. Especially when they turn 18, they're like, I'm not ready, I'm not 18, yeah. No way. So, what kind of car would you want, since you are getting to the point of
ooh, okay, my dream car is a Camaro, probably red, but I'm probably going to end up driving my dad's RAV4, just because we already have it, and so if I crash it, it's not a big deal.
But yeah, I know that's really cool. Red Camaro, I like that. So yeah. Are you
driving style?
Yeah, that's right. That's kind of the one that I would have picked, to be honest, if I had to choose one. So.
It's not like super sporty and it's not like too plain. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. I like it. That's awesome. Okay, so what's something you would do if you had more time in your life?
This is gonna sound extremely cliche, but I would travel the world.
Okay.
Because quite honestly, I think that the cultures of the world are really beautiful, and places, people you meet, they all have a backstory, and like going to these places and meeting new people, complete strangers, and just getting to know their history and their background and their culture is extremely liberating, and I think it helps you grow as a person as well.
So what's one place that you would want to go to if you had time to go?
So my family, we travel a lot. So we've been to like Europe, Rome. Yeah. And we just recently went to Cancun. So I think I'd like to go to Egypt and like look at the pyramids and learn.
What's been the most favorite place you've been to in all your traveling experience?
I think because Cancun, I went to like recently in winter break. That's the one that's been most exciting, the most memorable. Because I was pretty young when we went to Italy and stuff like that. So yeah, Cancun was great. I was able to use my Spanish speaking skills from high school and like actually apply it and bargain and ask for directions, and that was awesome.
No, that's awesome.
I just felt like for the first time I had the upper hand and not my parents like always doing everything. It was like my brother and I speaking and stuff. It was nice.
Yeah. So are your parents pretty protective then? Because you were talking about how like you having an upper hand is good. Are they pretty protective of you or something?
I think it's a general Indian trend for parents to be more worried about their daughters than their sons.
Yep, that's right.
even though like they know that their daughters can handle it, like they've come from a place like small towns where it's not the ideal situation, so I think they bring along those values to the U.S. which can get pretty annoying for a person who's been raised in the U.S.
Yep,
and like knows
right.
So when we were in Cancun, they'd like make sure my brother came with me to talk to somebody. If I was talking to like a random person, my dad would be there. And to be quite honest, it's a little bit annoying because I'm a huge feminist.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, like stand on your own feet, get yourself done. But I let my dad be there for me, because that, if that makes him happy and if that makes him think that I'm safe, mm-hmm. then, like, so be it. It's fine.
So, like, what are some of the values that you believe as, like, a womanist that, or some of the biggest values that you believe as a womanist that...
Mm-hmm. I think equal pay for equal work is one that's really important, mm-hmm. because for some reason, women are still making less than men for the same jobs mm-hmm. and for the same amount of work. In addition to that, I think the biggest problem with being a feminist is all the derogatory things other people say.
Yeah, that's right.
Because people don't know what feminism is, which is the equality for men and women. Mm-hmm. And I understand, like, the term itself is misleading because it's feminist, so yeah. Feminine. Mm-hmm. So I can see how people would think feminism is, like, women better than men, mm-hmm. but it's not. And so that's, I think, the biggest thing that bothers me in society is when men and women say, oh, feminist needs to just, like, you know, stop, you know, go home and cook or something, or, like, you know, just live your life.
Yep.
But in reality, it's, I think 2015 was the year where a lot of people got annoyed at the littlest things, but mm-hmm. for the right reasons. Because there was feminism, racism, and all these stereotyping
yep.
for transgender people, bisexual people, LGBT, mm-hmm. That came up. And it was, like, a really heated time, but I feel like those issues are really important to bring up, and I'm happy 2015 did that.
Okay. So, like, what's one thing, then, I guess, that you would change if you could about maybe the world or anything mm-hmm. in general?
I think the biggest problem is the way people think. And changing the way people think is not an easy task.
Yeah.
Because... The only person who can change the way you think is yourself.
That's true.
I can't make you think any different. I can try, but the change has to come from within. And that's, like, a huge problem, not even in, like, social issues, like, even, like, being a greener community or, like, being eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. Just convincing people about global warming existing is, even though it does exist, the person has to believe it does and has to know it does. And then they'll be, like, more eco-friendly.
So would something you'd want to change, would that be just, like, trying to get people to see things differently than what they think, maybe?
Yeah, I would say so. But okay. In general, that trying to get to people, like, see things differently mm-hmm. is a much harder task than it sounds. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's go back to some of the easier ones. We went kind of deep there for a second.
Okay.
So what is your favorite holiday and why?
I would have to say Diwali is my favorite holiday. It's an Indian festival, New Year's. Like the Festival of Lights. And it's just a nice tradition that we have in our family, that everyone comes together and you spend a week wearing new clothes, putting the lights around your house. It's like Christmas, you know.
So, like, Diwali, what does that celebrate specifically?
Okay. So Diwali is the Indian New Year, and mm-hmm. it's the Festival of Lights, and it's in one of our oldest scriptures that Lord Ram came back from 20-some years in exile. Mm-hmm. And so it's a celebration of...
And when him. He comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he comes back.
Yeah, because I've been reading it, so yeah. I know that, so yeah.
And so basically, it's just a day for, like, new beginnings. It's kind of like Christmas and New Year's put together.
Mm-hmm. And why do you like it so much, then?
I think it's just a different feel. Like, you know when people say, oh, it's Christmas season, like, oh, the air just feels different.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
The atmosphere feels different. Mm-hmm. It's the same way. It's, like, indescribable.
So are you pretty... I guess this is kind of a weird question to ask, but, like, are you pretty well set in Hinduism? Like, do you believe in it, like, completely? Or because I know some of the Indian people I've interviewed have been like, I don't really believe in it, or other ways. So are you very set in your religion, I guess?
I can see why some people wouldn't be, because some of the things are kind of difficult to believe about Hinduism. Mm-hmm. But my logic on that is that, first of all, Hinduism is a very liberal culture. Mm-hmm. Society in India has made it conservative.
Yeah.
So it's not the religion that's conservative, it's the people that practice Hinduism who are conservative. Mm-hmm. Being said, there's nowhere in Hinduism that says you have to do, like, prayer this way, mm-hmm. or you have to face this way, you have to face this way, or, like, you have to, like, stand here and fold your hands like this. Mm-hmm. There's none of that.
Okay.
The reason that Hinduism has so many different avatars, like, so we're actually a complex monotheism, mm-hmm. which is a common myth that people think it's, like, polytheistic, but it's actually complex monotheism. And so the reason we have so many avatars or avatars is because people have found different ways to find inner peace. Mm-hmm. So if you find inner peace with, say, Lord Ganesha, then channel your energy through him to worship the supreme being.
Okay.
So that's what I find really amazing about Hinduism, is it's very liberal. Like,
So practice, you can kind of just do what you
yeah,
would like.
As long as it doesn't hurt people, okay. Obviously. Or, like, you know, harm anyone. Ahimsa or nonviolence is a really big value in Hinduism. So I would say I believe in the actual concept and the actual religion of Hinduism, but not so much as the conservatism that the society brings into Hinduism.
Okay, let's see. Are you a dog person or a cat person, and why? I'm sorry, that was, like, totally
I'm
different.
A dog person. I'm almost positive I'm allergic to cats, but my mom doesn't believe me. She's just like, oh, you're just making up stuff. I was like, okay.
Well, how do you know that you might be allergic to
cats? Because I always get, like, sneezy around them. My eyes look, like, red up, but
maybe next time you should just have your mom around you.
Yeah,
when you're a cat.
That's what
you
I thought.
Like, mom, this isn't
and, like, dogs are just so much nicer. They're happier. I feel like dogs tend to care more about, like, their like, human people.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Do you have a dog?
I don't. I really, really want one, but my mom doesn't want one.
So what's your favorite breed if you could have one?
I'd say, like, a miniature golden doodle.
Oh, okay.
Those are really cute.
Yeah, those are adorable.
Yeah.
That's right. I've seen them before. Yeah, they're so cute. So that's great. Yeah. So what's a favorite memory you've had growing up in your life and why?
I don't think about this one.
It could be more than one. I just, like, a general one. It
yeah,
could be
I'm just
one,
trying
too.
To think of one.
Do you have, like, a certain experience? Like, maybe, like, a couple memories? Like, maybe, like, from one of your trips or something
oh,
like that?
Oh, yeah, okay.
That you could...
So, a couple years ago, my family and I went to, like, a pilgrimage in India. So, basically, you go to the Himalayas, and it's called Badrinath Kedarnath, and we visited the river Ganges and Yamuna. Basically, it's like a religious pilgrimage that most Indians take once in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And so while we were there, we were in this city called Varanasi, which is where Lord Krishna was born and grew up. And so there's, like, a common legend that, like, Lord Krishna visits one person every day in Varanasi. So when we were getting there, we were going to this huge temple, but we were running late and we couldn't find the directions, didn't know where we were going. And so my dad pulled over to ask somebody, and a total stranger, didn't even know him. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll take you there. And my dad, like, doesn't let anyone in our car, but he let him in for some reason.
Yeah.
And so he took us to this temple, and it was, like, the gates had closed. And so this guy got out of the car and said, will you please open these gates? These people are here from America, and they wanted to, you know, worship.
Yeah.
And so they never opened the gates. So then they opened the gates that day, and we were in such a rush to go, like, see the temple and, mm-hmm. and, you know, pray, that we forgot to thank the person. So when we came out to thank him, he was gone. So
does that kind of, like...
Yeah, so who really knows what happened, if that really was Lord Krishna or not? I choose to believe it, because it's an interesting story, and you really had to be there in that situation to feel like, oh my gosh, like, what was that? Because they never open the gates after it's closed. So the fact that it happened to us and that we found a random stranger 5 minutes before it was about to close to help us, like, mm-hmm. so yeah, that was, like, a pretty memorable experience.
No, definitely. I think that everybody in their own religion has that experience. So
yeah.
Since you're talking about your family, what's something that you would, what do you define as family?
I don't think family has to be just blood relationship, right? I think it could be anyone who truly cares for you, will be there in your happiness and sadness and stand with you no matter what. That usually ends up being your parents because they've raised you mm-hmm. and your siblings. But I think a family can extend beyond just blood relationship.
Okay, so what do you mean by that then?
Okay.
So are you talking about, like, your friends and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or, like, an uncle or an aunt that just cares for you as like, if you were their own child.
Is there any reason you believe that? That, like, it should, like, connect to more than, mm-hmm. like, just your family?
Well, I've had a lot of experiences in the Indian circle, in the Indian community, where there's a lot of competition and people are just kind of out to be better than you and prove that they are, and mm-hmm. they'll put other people down. And I don't think that's just an Indian problem, but it's more prevalent and, like, it's more dramatic, I guess, in Indian society, just because, like, that's just the culture. But I've seen people who want the worst for me, and I've seen people who want the best for me.
Okay.
And just seeing that and experiencing it really showed me that there's more to family than just your parents and your siblings.
So who's one of your closest friends and why?
Rami Nikhil is one of my closest friends. I've been friends with her for 13 years. We're on 14 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We've had our ups and downs, especially, like, in elementary, But the fact that we've been so close for all these years, and that she knows me better than any other person that I know, except for my mom. But
obviously, your mom's parent.
Yeah. Right. But she, I don't even have to tell her, like, how I feel. Like, she'll just know.
Oh, wow.
And she'll be like, do you want to talk? And I'll be like, yeah. And so, like, even if I can't formulate the words to express how I feel, she knows.
If you could speak to everyone in the world at the same time, what would you say and why?
I would tell everyone to think before they act. Because quite honestly, a lot of times, well, I'm not in other people's brains, so I don't know. But I think a lot of times people just say or do things without, like, thinking about what the consequences are. Think about what you do before you do it or say it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. All right. Okay. So what's your favorite movie and why? Mm-hmm. And if you have a couple, just list the ones that...
I really like Bollywood.
Okay.
I don't know much about Hollywood, so I know everything about Bollywood.
All right. So
I like Bajirao Mastani, Three Idiots, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, Barfi. Those are really good. PK, that was really good too. Yeah.
Okay.
They're all like sending message movies, like inspiring movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who's your favorite Bollywood actor since you've shown how much you love it?
My favorite Bollywood actor, if you ask like any of my friends, they would tell you Hrithik Roshan. Do you know who Hrithik Roshan is?
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was on your Instagram the other day. Yeah. Not that it was being creepy, but I was just looking. Like, I saw the like birthday cake thing of like Hrithik Roshan.
Ramin made that for me.
Okay. So did you, if you could marry him?
Yes.
Would you? Okay. Yeah.
So you I would marry him right now if he was to walk into this
but
room.
I heard he's kind of a bad guy. I don't know.
Like, yeah, okay. So.
Tell me like why you.
So he did recently get divorced from his wife because, not because he was cheating, but because this other girl was like coming on to him, but then he was like, no, I can't. But then I guess there was like relationship issues already.
Mm-hmm.
So Hrithik Roshan is like, first of all, he's very attractive.
I'll give you that.
And he's an amazing dancer and an amazing actor. And he always makes amazing movies with inspirational ideas.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite movie that he's done?
I like Dhoom and I like Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that mean in English?
Okay. So Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara means, it's kind of like YOLO. You'll only live once.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you directly translate it, it's life will never come again.
Okay.
So YOLO.
So do you speak Hindi? Is that what you speak?
I do. I read, write, and speak Hindi.
Okay. So is that your main language or do you, like the one from your family?
Yeah. I was born in India, but I moved here when I was 5 months. So I'd say I know English and Hindi like about the same level.
Okay. So your family's from the northern part of India?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you had 3 wishes, what would they be and why?
I've actually given this a lot of thought too.
Okay.
So if I had 3 wishes, I guess the first one would be kind of selfish. I'd ask to be like the smartest person in the entire world. And then my second one would be like the best athletes. So then, like, I won't ask for money, because if you're already the smartest person and if you're already, like, the best athletes, you're going to get money anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would ask for the long life of all my families and relatives and, like, stuff like that.
Okay, so what's with the smartest person life?
Okay, so I guess, like, I've always had to work hard at everything at school, like every other student. But yeah. There are some students who just, they'll read a 30-page chapter and then take the test and get, like, 100.
Yeah.
Whereas I'll be spending hours trying to just take notes.
So you just want it to be easier for you, like, easy to understand.
Yeah, sort of. But I would ask, at the same time, I'd ask for humility
mm-hmm.
for myself so I don't get, like, pompous and arrogant.
Well, I mean, you kind of already used your 3 wishes, though. So, like,
that's true. You're right.
It was like help right. for your family.
Maybe there's like a subunit. Depends if I ever get a genie. We can negotiate.
Okay, we can. That's awesome. Most athletic. Why would you want that then?
Good health is really important, and I don't have motivation.
Okay.
So that'd be nice.
So, what are different things that you're a part of? So I know you dance. So mm-hmm. how did you get into that?
My mom always wanted a really girly girl daughter, and I wasn't for the longest time as a tomboy.
Oh.
Yeah. So she wanted me to do dance, and so I started Kathak about 10 years ago.
And Kathak is what?
Kathak is North Indian classical dance.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started Kathak about 10 years ago because my mom wanted me to, and ever since then, I just fell in love with it, and I'm still doing it today.
All right.
Yeah.
So what's one of the, I guess, one of the many good experiences you've had in your dance?
Mm-hmm. So I guess with Kathak is, with any dance, when you're on stage and you're dancing, all the hard work and all the effort of practicing, like, it melts away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you and the music. You don't even see the audience. You don't even think you're on a stage. When I get on stage, I become a different person. Doesn't even matter if, like, I'm practicing for, like, hours and hours and hours. Once I'm on stage, I kick it in. And I feel the music and I express myself through the music. Expression is a really important part of Kathak. And so being able to do that and not have that like shyness or like stage fright mm-hmm. is really good for me. Because honestly, it's just me on stage. There's like nothing else. And I think you have to be a dancer to understand that, but it's hard to explain like what that feeling really is.
So just like, it's kind of like one of the feelings that you, like a really good feeling that you have being up there and yeah. just experiencing. Let's see here. Okay, so what different stuff are you a part of at Carmel here since you were talking about mm-hmm. your dance and stuff?
So I'm the vice president of a design for CHS, mm-hmm. Basically a group that makes new inventions, creates new service projects, provides goods and services for our community for the betterment of our community. Mm-hmm. It's like a non-for-profit, obviously. I'm in NHS, Key Club, and I helped put on a TEDx show my sophomore year, I believe. That's about it. Because I do a lot of stuff out of school, not as much in school.
Okay, so what else do you do besides dance outside of school then? Or is dance just pretty much
No. I do dance, and I'm very involved at my temple.
Okay.
So I'm actually a board member in our executive committee at the temple who helps make the decisions for like temple and like temple opening and plans events and things like that. So those two take up a lot of time. And then I used to play basketball, but I had to drop it because I wanted to do full-time dance. Mm-hmm. And then college apps, so there's really not much time.
All right. What do people most misunderstand about you? Like when they see you, when they talk to you, what do you think something people like overlook or you hide really well that like maybe they don't notice?
So when I was younger, I didn't have much of a personal identity. I was always trying to act like other people and define like what a person should act like and what a girl should be like. Mm-hmm. So I always tried to shape myself to those standards. And in the process, I was never able to gain a personal identity. And that sounds kind of dramatic, but if you were in my shoes, you'd know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But so in middle school is when I really started to figure out like what I like, my interests, how I'm, you know, how I act with my friends, what friends I want to have. Mm-hmm. So in that process, I had to become confident and like stand up for myself. And like, if someone was to say something against me, I would have to stand up for myself and, you know, take a stand.
Yeah.
So in that process, I feel like when people saw me go from like a really subtle, go with the flow kind of person to actually like standing up for herself.
And being like out there.
Yeah.
Like,
being assertive.
Yeah.
Not people see it as being like bossy. Mm-hmm. But people don't like if a guy like is being assertive, he's not bossy. He's a boss.
That's right.
But if a girl is being assertive, she's bossy.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think some people can see me as a little bit bossy and like competitive. Mm-hmm. But with the help of my friends told me that I sometimes come off like that. I decided to change myself in high school. So I'm not as bossy as I was, but I'm definitely competitive and I'm going to stand up for myself. So I feel like if I tell someone off or like put them in their place for, you know, overstepping their boundaries, they may be angry, but I'm doing it for myself.
All right.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Does that become kind of hard? Because I know, like, with Indian culture and everything like that, women being assertive isn't necessarily the right...
Oh, my goodness, yes. In the previous part, I was talking about where people in the Indian community want to see me fail, right?
Yeah.
you have to stand up to those people. Mm-hmm. And that's not something you do in, at least the society, the Indian society, like, the circle that I'm in. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other ones, because obviously we're not all the same.
Yeah.
But at least in my circle, it's... You don't speak out. Like,
yeah.
If something happens, if someone does this, you go, oh my God, she did this. And you talk about it and you let it like, you know, bundle up. Mm-hmm. You let it bundle up until like the breaking point.
Okay.
But then like the thing is you never reach the breaking point. So when people were like, you know, talking smack about me or like wanting me to not do well or, you know, gossiping about me, I'd had to take a stand. And that made me look like a person who is only out for personal gain. Mm-hmm. Which is not true at all.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, people are going to say things about you even if you do good stuff. And people are going to say things about you even if you do bad stuff. And people will say things if you do nothing.
Yeah.
So honestly, you can't control what other people think.
To just do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. Yeah.
All right. All right. I know you talked about who you would marry in real life. But what fictional character would you marry if you had the choice and why? Unless, of course, one of these are Hrithik Roshan.
Yeah, of course. there's a TV show called Rain. I don't know if you've seen it or not. But it's, like, set in the princess days, I guess. So it's, like, where, like, royalty and, like, regents are still there. Mm-hmm. So, like, Prince, I guess his name, King Francis. Mm-hmm. King of France. guess maybe that.
Okay, so.
Honestly, I don't really know.
Okay, okay.
I don't, that's, yeah.
That's fine. Okay.
There's many good-looking people out there.
Right. Okay, there we go, right? Fictional or non-fictional.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so do you know how your parents met at all? Any kind of idea?
Yeah.
Tell me the story.
Yeah, know. So my parents, they had an arranged marriage.
Okay.
But it wasn't like in a sense that I think a lot of people get the misconception that in Indian culture, when you get an arranged marriage, you get married the next day. Like, yeah. You didn't meet them. That wasn't the case. when my parents met, they got arranged and then they had like 3 months or so or 4 months to like get to know each other.
Okay.
So they went on dates to like temples and stuff. And wow, that sounds great. Dates to temples. but like other places around. But the funny thing is, like, their parents would come with them.
Oh.
So, like, my dad has all these funny stories of how he tried to get my mom alone, like, them two alone.
Oh.
And then my mom's dad going, like, Anil, no, we should get some ice cream. And then my dad's like, oh, maybe later.
It's so funny.
Yeah. But when my mom first heard about my dad, the first thing she saw was his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really stylish shoes, I guess. And she's like, these are some nice shoes. And that's all, like, I was like, Ma, is that all you thought about? She's like, yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen his face by then. I was like, what? But it's kind of cute, like, how simple things were back then.
So did they end up, like, falling in love, or just was just...
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I mean, no, I mean, not like that. I mean, some people get to know each other, and then they're just, like, they fall in love mm-hmm. after marriage, like, yeah. once they get to know... Okay.
Well, I think in this relationship, they were both, like... With arranged marriage, there's kind of, like, a mysterious, like, ooh, what is this person like?
Yeah.
So, like, that kind of environment, I guess, is very... Already very romantic.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider having an arranged marriage?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, why?
Not in this day and age. Like, people are different and, like...
Well, let's say that you, like, you've looked around and you've being very assertive. And you're pretty, too. So, like, there's that, too. So let's say you go around and you haven't found the person yet. Would you consider having your parents pick someone for you when you get to that?
I think for their happiness, I would let them mm-hmm. look around. And if something does work out, it does. The whole thing with arranged marriage, though, is my parents know how incredibly, like, feminist I am.
Yeah,
So I'm not going to be sitting there, like, making food every single day for my husband. Mm-hmm. So they know that. So they know a lot about me. So I'm sure they'll pick the right spouse. But in the end, they do say it's, like, my decision.
Okay.
So we'll do the same thing. We're like, if it does end up happening, my parents will find someone and... We'll meet and talk, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
But you would rather fall in love with someone and then
I would, married. Because I just think that's the way to be a mature adult.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, not always being dependent on your parents.
Okay, that's fine.
And quite honestly, like, when I go to college, I'm not going to, like, assertively look for love. Like, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me something about you that most people don't know. Unless you're very open like me. In that case, I don't have an answer to this, but I could give you an example with mine if you want.
I got one.
Okay.
I tend to, like, overthink every situation.
Okay.
And I'll, like, if something happens between a friend and I and, like, this person's just having an off day and he's like, yeah, okay, and, like, walks away, I'll think about the yeah, okay for the rest of the day.
I do the same thing.
And I'll be like, oh, my God, what did he mean by yeah, okay? Like, was it a yeah, okay, or a yeah, okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what was it? And I'll be like, hey, I'll like, go to that person and be like, apologize. Be like, hey, I'm sorry, I was acting off or something.
Okay.
Then they'll be like, what do you mean? Like, they didn't even think about it. And,
yeah,
like, it wastes a lot of my time. But I don't think people know, like, how much I think about it mm-hmm. all the time.
So is there anything you'd like to say before we end?
Thank you so much for having me.
So one of the interesting things I learned about Kamina through this interview was the fact that she was a very strong feminist. And that's something I never would have assumed talking to her before the interview started. She was very friendly and very kind, but I assumed she was kind of like a pushover, I guess, when I talked to her. But when she had mentioned feminism or the trip that she had with her family, you could tell that she was talking a lot about how she kind of felt a little frustrated with the fact that, you know, women still are, like, unequal to men in many ways. Another thing I thought was really cool about Kamina was her belief in her religion. You know, she believed in Hinduism, but she wasn't going to force anyone to believe that what she was saying was right. You know, she just kind of assumes that, hey, you know what, there are different perspectives of God, but whatever makes you happy should make you happy. And I thought that was really nice, you know. And another thing I wanted to point out before I end the broadcast is the fact that she was very strong, you know, in her opinions, in the way that she wanted to be, you know, and based on her past experiences, like she talked about, she had kind of assumed that maybe the best way is just to be who I am, you know, and she talked about that whole story. And I found it very eye-opening and very interesting, too. So if you guys want to be on Glowing Greyhounds like Kamina, all you have to do is email me at nihirikak@whje.com. In the message box, just put Glowing Greyhounds and put I want to be in it. I need a name afterward, and I'll email you back at a time that we can do it. So I hope that you guys like the broadcast, and keep it classy, Carmel.